Today I'm going to talk about stewardship. Some of you are about ready to leave, right? When you think about stewardship, what do you think of? Go ahead. Money. But it's more than that. And so today we're going to talk about this. We had this planned in our schedule, so I didn't just come up with this last week and think about, okay, since Eric gave the report on finances, I'm going to just follow up on the heels of that and talk about money. That you have to understand, people get nervous when pastors talk about money. But pastors get nervous speaking about money for fear that they will be misunderstood. And so it works both ways, and we need God's help as we go into this today. There's no high-pressure tactics. This is just to help reveal what God has said in His Word about this matter of stewardship. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we need Your wisdom. We need Your understanding to be able to see what our part is in this whole matter of stewardship, to see what Your Word declares about Your part in this whole matter. And so, Lord, guide us in our understanding. May Your Holy Spirit move us where we need to be changed, where we need to grow in our understanding, where we need to participate. So I pray that You would guide us today. Work through this instrument to communicate Your truth. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I don't remember the last time when I talked about stewardship. And so it's, again, a little bit of an awkward thing that, you know, it's been probably 5 years, 6 years. But yet I don't see why we are so nervous about it, because God's Word has a lot to say about money and our things and our possessions. In fact, do you realize that Christ said more about the matter of money and possessions than He said about heaven and hell combined? It's important. I think the Lord knew that we would have troubles in allowing things to control our lives. I will use no strong-arm tactics this morning. I will not be like the church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, when I was an intern a few years ago. I remember the time, the Sunday morning, that the church had not given enough in the offering. And so they locked all the doors around the building. And they did not let anyone leave the building until they had given the amount that they had set. I would imagine that that morning there were some people that never came back after they were allowed to go through those doors. I wouldn't want to go back if I was there. We've all had the guilt trip tactics that are used as well, or emotional appeals. None of that will be done today. I would just like to declare what God's Word says. And today, I'd like to talk about God owns it all. That's really the start of where stewardship begins. And then second, next week, about I am a steward or a caretaker of what belongs to God. And then the third week, Pastor Jonathan will be talking about the matter of contentment in a society that says we need more. And so that's kind of where we're headed here, to give you an idea of the direction. I would like to define stewardship for you as we begin this mini-series. Stewardship is the use of God-given resources. If you're following along in your outlines, it's there for you. And fill in the blanks. You'll stay awake. You'll get more out of it. So open your bulletins, get out the outline, and go for it. Stewardship is the use of God-given resources for the accomplishment of God-given purposes. Now, that's a mouthful. Let me give you a short definition that you can hang on to and even memorize. Three words. Stewardship is managing God's resources. Managing God's resources. I had already come up with the outline until I boiled it down to that, thought it'd make it easier on everyone, and that's something you can take away from you and really is the crux of what I'd like to communicate today. I'd like to mention that there is a huge misconception and misunderstanding as it relates to this whole matter of stewardship. The thinking of today, and maybe even as you as a believer in Jesus Christ, is that what I possess belongs to me. I think that is a huge misconception. Many times we say things like, this is my, this is mine. This is ours. I think the four-letter word that is the worst and brings out the problem of this misconception is mine. Mine. Everything I have is mine. It reminds me of the little kid who, when you go to reach to take away that piece of candy or something, they say, no, it's mine. When you try to remove the blanket or the toy or the tricycle or whatever, it's mine. And yet we do the same thing when it relates to our possessions, our talents, and our money. We think that we are the owners of our own things. It's my land, it's my money, my car, my house, my room. Don't come near it. It's my room. It's off limits to you. My things. And you know the worst one? This is my life. This is my life. I give God Sundays, and then it's my life to do what I want with it. Have you ever experienced that in your Christian walk? Have you ever heard any others who have said that or have lived it out like that? I think many of us too often live that way. God, I served you this morning, Sunday morning at New Life Baptist Church, and as I leave the door, now it's my life and I do my own thing. I don't need God involved in my decision making. I just kind of do it because it's my life. One of our boys had a baseball coach that basically his approach was he would have a whole bunch of practices and games on Sunday morning. It always conflicted with our schedule. And so we had to make some tough decisions at times. And the coach basically said, well, if you were like me, you could do your religion on Saturday night and get it over with, and then you would have all this free time on Sunday. Do you kind of get the picture there? That you get it over with. You get it out of the way. You give God His time and His due, but then the rest of the time is for me and my family and with our stuff. I think that that's wrong thinking, and I want to show you and prove to you from God's Word where that thinking is wrong. The key principle that we must start off with in this whole matter of stewardship is that God owns it all. If you don't remember anything about today, remember the title of the message. God owns it all. Maybe that's a new concept for you. Maybe you've not been a Christian very long, or maybe you're not even a believer, and it kind of strikes you as funny. The Bible over and over again reminds us that everything belongs to God. Dr. Tony Evans said of Christian stewardship, people never own anything during this life. God owns it all. Everything people possess will either leave them or they'll leave it. Somebody has passed away and you might hear people say, well, how much did they leave behind? The answer in every case is everything. They cannot take anything with them, and none of us can either. And so we need to look at this whole matter of God's ownership. We do not own anything. God owns it all. In your outlines, God is the owner, and I am the steward. God owns it all, and I am the caretaker of His things. I am the manager. You can use a number of different words for that, but I am a steward, I am a manager, I am a caretaker of what belongs to Him. God is the master, and I am the servant. I'd like to take you to a number of scripture passages, and you might want to jot down next to some of these verses just the idea or the main phrase of what that verse is bringing out. And then we're going to zoom in on a couple of those verses. Exodus 19:5 says this, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. That is God speaking. All the earth belongs to God. Leviticus 25 and verse 23, the Lord is telling the Israelites about how to use the land, the promised land, when they enter into it. And He's given specific instructions. You're supposed to work the land for the first 6 years, And on the seventh land, you're supposed to have it just rest. And he goes on for multiple years what you're supposed to do with it. And at the end of that phrase, in verse 23, it says this, "The land is mine." Deuteronomy 10:14, "Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and," excuse me, "Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it." So heavens and earth belong to God. I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles, if you would. This may keep you turning for a while, but it's in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles. And we'll be looking at chapter 29. If you have a blue Bible, it's page 356, 357. And here you find just a wonderful declaration by David, King David, about God and what he owns and who he is as it relates to the things down here. David is here telling about the fact that he can't build the temple because he was a man of war, and God told him that his son Solomon would build the temple unto him and to God's name. And so David had the privilege of seeing that many offerings and sacrifices were given for the building of this temple that his son would perform. But notice, right in the midst of this talk about the temple and its offerings, David starts praying, and in his prayer we learn a lot about God. Notice what it says there, beginning with verse 10. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. "Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said," and I want you to notice the number of times that he says "you" or "your" as opposed to "me" and "mine." "David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you, and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart I have freely offered all these things, and now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and desires in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you." Over and over he is talking about the fact that God, everything is from your hand and everything belongs to you. You may be thinking this morning, but I'm thinking, but the money in my wallet belongs to me. I mean, it's my money. I worked for it. I earned it. I deserve it. I am the one who went to college. I'm the one who has this career. It's my paycheck, my house, and my things. This is mine. Don't tell me how to use my money. I deserve it. I put blood, sweat, and tears into it. You may think, because of your business skills and your good education and your brains, you have done it all. It's almost like we say sometimes, God, you're so lucky to have me. Where would you be without me? If that is our thinking, turn now over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And it's a humbling passage. It brings us back down to size. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter 8. It's really a wake-up call for us. as we begin in verse 11, beginning with verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. It sounds like America, doesn't it? We have multiplied our wealth. We have multiple things. We have all kinds of possessions. And yet the Lord reminds us, be careful. Don't forget God. Verse 14, then your hearts can be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, and brought your water out of flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you to do your good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant, and He swore to His fathers as it is this day. Don't forget what God has done. In the Israelites' history, the event that they would always look back to was the Exodus from Egypt and how God gloriously provided freedom from the slavery that they had to go and the bondage they experienced in Egypt. For us as believers, what is our point of remembrance? Back to the cross and what Jesus Christ has done in freeing us from slavery to sin. And so here their tendency was to forget what God had done. And that is the same tendency we have as well. We need to remember what God has done and remember that He is the owner of it all. The Lord your God, it is He who has given us the power to gain wealth. It is God who gave us all that we enjoy. It is not about you and it's not about me. And just think with me about this. The New Testament talks about investing in eternity, not laying up treasures on this earth, but laying up treasures in heaven. We have the chance to invest in kingdom ventures that will last forever. And one writer, as I was preparing for the message, he said this, our temptation is to invest in landfills. I thought that was a great description. Most of our investments are in things that end up in landfills. And how we need to think in terms of the fact that God owns it all, we need to invest in eternal things. If a couple says, come to my house, what they're really saying is, come to the house that God has put on loan to me. It belongs to God, but I want to use it for His glory. If a friend invites you to drive their new car, what they're saying or should be saying is this, it's God's car, but I'm allowing you to drive. And this is just with me for a temporary time. If a businessman says he has had success in his business, really it's God's business, and he arranges for someone to manage it on his behalf. Over and over again, we see Scripture say God owns it and we manage it. A few more. Some text there in your notes. Job 41:11. Who has a claim against me, says God? Everything under heaven belongs to me. Psalm 24, 1 and 2 says this, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Everything belongs to Him. Psalm 50, for every animal of the forest is mine, God says. And the cattle on a thousand hills. I loved it when I was a kid and I would hear people praying, Lord, we have a need. Can you sell one of your cows so that we can pay for this? You own the cattle on a thousand hills. Sell just a few of them to meet this need. It goes on in Psalm 50, verse 11 says, I know every bird in the mountains and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, God says, for the world is mine and all that is in that. Haggai. There is a book called Haggai. Haggai 2:8 says this, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty." And over we see the same theme repeated in the New Testament. Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, and how an owner leaves what he has and entrusts it to various ones in various amounts, and he goes away. He entrusts his wealth with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 says this, "If you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you don't belong to yourself." Did you realize that? It says, "You are not your own, for you are bought for the price. Therefore glorify God in your body, which is His." Two more verses. 1 Timothy 6:7. "We have brought nothing into this world, and so we cannot take anything out of it either." James 1:17. It tells us that every good and every perfect gift comes from whom? The Father of lights. Are you still with me? Are you still listening? God is the owner. God owns it all. God owns it all. Say that with me. God owns it all. That was weak. Say it again. God owns it all. Does that bother you? Does that bother you at all? It should not bother you, because God is the perfect Heavenly Father who knows what is best for us, and everything that He has entrusted to us, He's put on loan for our use, but for His glory. Do you realize that includes your children? And that's why we take care of our son, because he's been given to us. That's why you take care of your children that God has entrusted to you. They are on loan to you, and you need to commit them to God. They are His and not your own personal possession. You possess, but God owns. So stop thinking ownership and start thinking stewardship. God has given us our abilities. He's given us our resources, our skills, our talents, our opportunities to earn money. God has given us these bodies and our strength and energy. He's given us our employers, and He's given us the money that they pay us. 1 Chronicles again, 29:11 says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours." Let's deal now with the implications. So what does that mean for my life? Let me bring it down to right now, 2013, right here, Lake in the Hills, Algonquin, Huntley, Crystal Lake area. What does this mean for me? Number one, God has the right to do what He wants with His possessions. God has the right to do whatever He wants with His possessions. Job 1:21 says this, and Job was saying this in the midst of great calamity. He had lost his house, his family, and everything except his wife. And she even said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And he said this, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I think the only way Job could handle such a devastating blow to him and his life was the fact that he knew that everything belonged to God, and he still could be blessed in the midst of all of that calamity. A man was frantic and rode up to John Wesley one time on a horse, and John Wesley was out riding his own horse and from city to city and presenting God's word. And a man came riding up on a horse and said, Mr. Wesley, something terrible has happened. Your house has burned to the ground." Instead of weeping and wailing about that, Wesley, without even hesitating, said this, "No, the Lord's house is the one that burned to the ground." He said, "That means one less responsibility for me." What a tremendous outlook on that. I mean, it's amazing. As you look at what happens in some of the places of our country, when someone loses their home and they've lost it all, they're interviewed and say, "What does this mean for you?" And some of them will be in tears. Now, again, we know You know, I'm not saying we need to just be kind of automatrons or robots and not react emotionally to anything that happens in our life. But sometimes I hear these people interviewed as they've lost their home and they said, we don't know what to do now. We've lost it all. We have no place to go. We don't know what to do. Wesley said, good, one less responsibility to take care of. I'm able to be free now to go where I want without hesitation. What a way that when we realize God has His right to give and to take away, God, that's His right as the owner. If God owns my life, He has the right to it. If God owns my possessions, He has the right to them. If God owns my talents and my abilities, He has the right to hold me accountable to use them. If God owns my money, then I need to see that I use it correctly. And if God chooses to remove anything that belongs to Him, it's still His right. Every individual belongs to God. Everything we have belongs to God. Everything we claim is ours, actually is owned by God. Therefore, one writer has said this, never lose sleep over losing anything because we own nothing. Number two, God has the right to do with the things that we are entrusted to because He is the owner. Number two, every spending decision is a spiritual decision. Every spending decision is a spiritual decision. In other words, this is what I mean. We ought to be saying, and again, I still have a lot of work in this area myself, so I'm not saying anything of you that I ought to demand of myself. We need to be asking this question, Lord, how do you want me to use your money? How do you want me to use your things? How do you want me to use what you've entrusted to me by way of talents? How do you want me to use or to spend what you have given to me? Ron Blue, who talks a lot about and writes a lot about money, says this, you can't fake stewardship. Your checkbook reveals all that you really believe about stewardship. A life story could be written from a checkbook. It reflects our goals, convictions, relationship, and even the use of our time. It's easy to say, I surrender all, but to surrender very little. Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Well, let's move on. Number three, I believe it brings great stability to our lives. It brings stability to my life. And here's what I mean by that. When things start going south in our income or with our possessions or with our home, we can't let that devastate us. When setbacks come or losses come, we need to realize it's God's and God knows about it and God is aware and I need to go to God to say, God, you have a problem here. Your house has problems. God, your washer broke. So we have a problem. Are you going to help supply another one? It's an interesting way of looking that we don't have to let the setbacks or losses in life absolutely devastate us. But if we're in a right relationship with God and we're going to Him with our needs, we can say, Lord, this is our need. This is your need. Please help me to meet this. We also can't get too proud. Lord, look what I have done. Aren't you pleased with my success? Aren't you pleased that I am doing so well? That's pride. And we're basically taking the place of God in all of this. And so I believe it helps us when the setbacks or when the successes come to remain stable and not get too lofty and not get too devastated. Conclusion. Of this first message. God owns it all. Number one, I need to hold everything with an open hand. Everything that you have, your job, your education, your possessions, your money, we need to hold them with an open hand and not a clenched fist. When we have a clenched fist over our things, when God chooses to either remove or change things, then we get all mad at God, saying, God, this is mine, just like the little kid with the toy or with the sucker or with the blanket or whatever it is. God, this is mine. No, it's not ours. It belongs to God. Hold everything with an open hand. And second, I need to transfer the title deed of my life and talents and possessions to God. So many times we like to go and we have, yes, that title deed to our house, or the title deed, we may not have exactly a title deed to our possessions, but we basically are saying, it's all mine. And I love here, and I'll conclude with this. One person actually came up with this as a little signed document that they wrote out one day, and it starts off with this: title deed to my life and my possessions. Dated it and signed it at the bottom and even had a witness. And this is what it says: I hereby acknowledge God's ownership of me and all my money and possessions and everything else I've ever imagined belonged to me, including my family and loved ones. Instead of seeing myself as the ultimate recipient, I will see myself as God's divine errand boy or errand girl, enjoying what He intends me to keep and distributing what He intends to go elsewhere. From this point forward, I will think of these assets as His to do whatever He wishes. I will do my utmost to ask Him and to prayerfully consider how He wishes me to invest my assets for His kingdom. In doing so, I realize I will surrender certain temporary earthly treasures to gain exchange in eternal treasures, as well as an increased perspective and decreased anxiety. Signed, so-and-so. I had never seen anything like that before, but I think it's a great declaration of what we can say to God. God, this morning, I want to give You title ownership of my life, title deed to all that I belong. It's Yours. You are the owner. I am the steward. I am the caretaker. Help me to be faithful. And that's what we'll talk about next week, about how to be a faithful caretaker of what belongs to God. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, for some of us this morning, and I include myself in that, we have some business to do with You. We need to take our hands off of our possessions as if it's just mine. And we need to give freely of all that belongs to You. We need to invest wisely. We need to spend carefully. We need to approach this whole area with the right mindset that everything is Yours. Thank You for Your word that doesn't leave us in the dark, but gives us direction and perspective. Help us to keep our tent stakes loose to the things of this world. Help us to invest in eternity. Help us to know how to use these possessions, Your possessions, for the best way possible. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.